Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. When our guest Joe Torre was the age of most of the college graduates he'll address at Skidmore's commencement at Saratoga Performing Arts Center on May 18th, he was already in the major leagues. He spent 18 years with the Braves, Cardinals, and Mets, notching 9 All-Star appearances and the 1971 MVP. Today, Torre works as Major League Baseball's chief baseball officer. Now a Hall of Famer, he's better known to recent generations of baseball fans as a manager. He spent parts of 5 decades filling out the lineup card for the Mets, Braves, Cardinals, Yankees, and Dodgers. And he led the 1990s Yankee dynasty to 4 championships and 12 straight playoff appearances.
Franchise history, they are the world champions.
And that's where we started our interview.
You know, it was just goosebumps because of the devotion and the determination, and never got tired of wanting to win, you know, and that was pretty special for me.
Well, I want to ask you about your upcoming appearance in our region when you do the commencement at Skidmore College. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice do you have for young people?
Well, you know, I guess in this age of technology, everybody tries to be perfect. I think the message for me, and I know I have a 23-year-old daughter, so I learned all that I talk about from my time in baseball because, you know, I always looked at baseball as a game of life. And I think the big part for me is don't be afraid to fail. You know, we have kids out there and they're in school and they at times think when they, you know, don't get chosen for this or don't get chosen for that, because my daughter is in the, you know, performing arts herself. And, you know, there's so much more failure than there is success in that business. So it's don't be afraid to fail. I mean, go out there and explore and just use setbacks or failure as a learning tool for, you know, what comes next. I think that's huge. And I see it in our game and certainly in life. And again, it doesn't mean go be a free spirit and not pay attention to what you're doing. But don't think that, you know, having failure at one particular thing is any indication that you're not going to have a successful future. Because I think, to me, failure is a huge part of success.
When you were the age of the college graduates you'll be addressing, you were in the big leagues already. Mm-hmm. What kind of expectations did you have for yourself when you were that age?
Well, I didn't have a great deal of confidence. You know, you're playing the minor leagues and you're not sure. I really didn't have a lot of confidence growing up. In fact, I didn't even go out for my high school baseball team as a freshman because I didn't think I was good enough. But a big part of that came from my being the youngest of 5 in our household. My dad was abusive to my mom. I was affected emotionally by that whole, scene going on. And I was a very shy kid. And, you know, baseball really helped me come out of that shell. But when I started in the minor leagues, you played sandlot ball, you played semi-pro ball, and you're not really sure if you fit until you basically get in the batter's box and realize that, hey, I can do this. I remember my first at-bat in the big leagues in 1960, the first pitch that was thrown to me as I pinched hit for the first time, I had my first at-bat, and the first pitch from Harvey Haddix from the Pittsburgh Pirates threw to me, and it was a strike, and I said to myself, I can hit that. It was really, you know, it was a confidence builder because you realize, you know, when you're watching games on TV, you think that these players on TV are superhuman, you know, because I was a huge baseball fan. But, you know, when I came up to the big leagues, it was, you know, you realize one thing. That's where the hard work starts. You know, a lot of people say that once you get to the big leagues, you've made it. No, once you get to the big leagues, that's when you know, you have to prove yourself every day. And that's, you know, that's where the work, you know, continues.
Eventually, you became really one of the last player managers the game has seen. How did you do those two jobs at the same time?
You know, Ian, it was difficult, but I knew it was a temporary situation. When I became manager in 1977, you know, I was a player one day and all of a sudden a manager the next day. This was in May of 1977. I was curious. I said, why, you know, can I be player manager? And they didn't want that to happen. Although for the next, I guess it was, you know, 2 weeks or maybe a little bit more than that, probably 2.5 weeks that I was, you know, player manager. And the reason being is we knew we were going to make a major trade when I took over the Mets in, on May 31st in 77. And when I say a major trade, we traded Tom Seaver, and we knew that was going to happen because there was a lot of discontent on his part with the Mets at that point in time. So the Mets were pretty much searching around on where they can make the best deal. So I was the player manager during that time of before he was traded, and then for a short time after he was traded June 15th. But it was very difficult because, especially New York, because there's so many demands for your time from the media that I think only a handful of days that I find myself taking batting practice because there was so much to do. And you go from a part-time player, which I was for the Mets, you know, that year, to a manager, and you realize that, you know, the time got away from you quickly. And, you know, it was sort of on-the-job training for me because, you know, I didn't manage in the minor leagues or manage anywhere. It was just a matter of playing for 16, 17 years, and then, you know, picking up what I could while I was a player. But I pinched hit myself twice. And strategically, I knew the first time I pinched hit myself, they're going to walk me intentionally because it was extra innings and it was first base was open. So I did that, and they walked me intentionally. And then the next time, I pinched hit myself. It was my last big league at bat because I knew I was coming off the roster the next day. But I was so excited about being a manager at 36 years old that you know, it was always fun for me. But I realized that the managing and the playing was a tough combo to try to accomplish, especially in New York.
Let me go back to something you said a few minutes ago, talking about failure. Obviously, anyone who works in baseball eventually gets fired, and you did experience that a few times when you were a manager. So how did you deal with those abrupt changes when they came in your life?
Well, you know, it never feels good, obviously. I mean, that first time was with the Mets. I got to manage for 5 years with the Mets, and they changed ownership, so I had a sense that that was coming. And I think the curiosity of getting fired for your first time is there anybody out there, you know, that would be interested in, you know, in my managing their team? So when I got fired in 1981, after the season, it wasn't too long after that that the Braves, were looking for a manager, and they reached out to me. And it's not like today where, you know, you interview and You know, you have several layers of interviews now, and you know, they just wanted me, offered me the job, and I, you know, went down there and managed for 3 years. So, you know, but it's tough when it's rejection. You know, when you get fired, that, you know, you really have to talk yourself out of the fact that you were a failure, you know, because you're, you know, you did the best you could, you know, but when it came time to get fired, it was a matter of not being a fit for the Braves for the Mets anymore. So I went down to Atlanta, and I wasn't a popular choice down there, Ian, because when I went down to Atlanta, the organization, and I'm talking about the general manager and a lot of the people in the front office, they didn't want, I wasn't their first choice, let's put it that way. They wanted Eddie Haas, who was their AAA manager. You know, this was the start of Ted Turner's Superstation. And so the powers to be decided that they want someone with a little more name recognition. And after managing 5 years in New York for the Mets, you know, I was probably more well known than Haas would have been. So, you know, they hired me, and, you know, we were lucky. I mean, the first year we went to the postseason. You know, we got knocked out by the Cardinals. They went on to win the World Series that year in 82. We won the first 13 games when I was my first year managing with the Braves, and it's still a record for 13 consecutive wins to start the season. And it was a fun time. It was a fun time. But again, you know, after 3 years, the powers that be again, you know, in the front office talked Ted into making a change, Ted Turner, that is. And so I left Atlanta after 3 years and found myself broadcasting. For 6 years, I worked for Gene Autry out in California for doing the Angels baseball on television, which I enjoyed, but, it wasn't, you know, you never knew if you won or lost when you did that job. And but it was a nice experience for me. And then I got an opportunity to manage the last team I played for, and that was the Cardinals. Went in there and managed for, I think, 5 years before I was fired in 1995. And the New York Yankees reached out to me, actually, to interview me to be general manager. And I had that interview, and they offered me the job. And I, my wife was pregnant with our daughter at the time, and I knew working for George Steinbrenner, there wasn't much personal time involved. So I said, no, I don't think I can take that job. It's nice to have somebody offer you a job, especially after you've been fired several times. But I bowed out of that opportunity, and little did I know, 3 weeks later or so, I was going to get a call saying, you know, would you like to be on the short list for managers? And I jumped at it, and turned out that I was the choice after a while, and the rest is pretty much history.
For the 34th time in team history, but the first time since 1981, the Yankees are in the World Series. And it's the first time that Joe Torre has been to the World Series.
We're listening to my interview with Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Torre. He'll be in the Capital Region to deliver Skidmore's commencement address on May 18th. I know you've covered this in your memoir about the Yankee years, but do you ever have any regrets about not taking that extension after 2007?
No, it really wasn't an extension, Ian. They had, I was making a good salary, and they wanted to cut my salary and then give me incentives to get my pay cut back plus more. And I, I felt at that point in time, they're thinking I needed an incentive to manage better was an insult in my mind. It had nothing to do with money. It was just the fact that, you know, I was motivated just by the fact that I put a uniform on. You know, I didn't need money to motivate me. So, you know, I think it got to the point, I was there 12 years, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think either one of us, when I say either one of us, the Yankees or myself, knew how to say goodbye. Because, you know, after a certain period of time, you know, I think change is probably advisable. And so they offered me a one-year deal. I asked for a two-year deal because I wanted to have 1 year without the threat of being fired, because I didn't think it was healthy for our clubhouse to have that cloud hanging overhead all the time. But they wouldn't do it, and I just decided that was it. Naturally, to be honest with you, when I walked out of that room that day, I thought my managing career was over. And I was probably resigned to, you know, maybe go to broadcasting again or whatever. And then all of a sudden the Dodgers reached out. And to be honest with you, I was a little hesitant there because they still had Grady Little under contract. And I had to be assured that, you know, he was leaving. And I even called him and talked to him, and he told me that, you know, he was leaving there. So, you know, I did accept that managing job. I'm glad I did, because the 3 years in L.A. were fun. Plus, we had some success the first 2 years.
We recently had one of your star pitchers on from the Yankees era, David Cone, and he said that it took him about 10 years not to feel the pull at 7.05 p.m. to get out on the field after baseball. Do you still feel that for managing at all?
You know, I don't, Ian. I mean, I didn't realize how much putting the uniform on and needing to win took out of you until I stopped doing it. But I tell you, when I was with the Dodgers, you know, we won the division in 2008 and 2009. In both those years, we won the division series, the postseason, and went on to lose the championship series to the Philly both years. And then the following year, early in, like, right after spring training, we started the season. I remember I had called a meeting with the team, and I was going over some stuff, and everybody was listening. They were very respectful, but I just had a sense at that time that they weren't really hearing me. They were listening to me, but I'm not sure they were hearing me. And I pulled Don Mattingly aside, who was my hitting coach at the time with the Dodgers, and I said, this is it, because he was the heir apparent to my job. And I said, this is it, Donnie. I said, this is going to be my last year. I just felt it was time. You know, and was I tempted after that, or, you know, missed it right after that? Sure. Especially when it came to, you know, postseason, because I got spoiled a little bit for a guy who, you know, went one time with the Braves in 82. You know, I went to postseason 14 straight years, and that's something that never gets old. Trust me on that one. And so, you know, the first couple of years when you get the postseason, and then there were people searching me out to see if I'd be interested in going back, and I really resisted the urge to go back, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, it's a lot of work. Managing is a 12-month-a-year job, and you're not only responsible for yourself, but you're responsible for, you know, the players, the coaches, the trainers. There's just a lot of responsibility that once I stopped doing it, I realized that that part of it was, I didn't miss, you know, all that responsibility. I'm still a part of the game, you know, in the commissioner's office. It certainly is different. Probably the part I like best is I don't care who wins anymore, which is that's a big one. You know, you don't realize how much that takes out of you until you stop doing it, and, you know, all of a sudden you feel healthier for some reason or other.
I want to ask you a couple of questions pertaining to your current role, as you mentioned, as the chief baseball officer. There's been so much discussion about speeding up the game and possible changes to the game. What do you think should be done and is being done right now?
Well, we're exploring. You know, we have a competition committee that we just met the other day, and we're going to meet again in next month. You know, we're trying to figure out what that is. Right now, my concern is, you know, we've taken a lot of action off the field. We have players hitting home runs. We have pitchers striking out a lot and walking a lot of hitters. And there's not a whole lot of action going on. You know, right now we're on pace to have the second straight year of striking out more times than we get hits, which is, to me, is not good. So, you know, I think right now we just need to get the message across that, you know, players need to have more awareness of game situations. You know, we're getting excited about guys hitting home runs, but there's more to it than, you know, if you know, the priority in the game should be winning it. And I think you know, we'll get back to it. It's just a matter of working your way through what's going on now with all the analytics. You know, we're so technology rich in our society now that, you know, we're, I think, overdoing it in our game. You know, we have human beings playing it, so there's a lot of unpredictability here on, you know, everything following what the numbers tell you.
It may be sacrilegious to ask an old National League guy like you this question, but do you think the DH should expand to the NL?
Well, I have mixed emotion on that. You know, let me tell you, managing's not easy, but I can tell you in the American League it's less complicated because you don't have, you know, you do have the DH. I watched some pitchers like Chin-Ming Wong with the Yankees ended his career running the bases. And, you know, there are different players that have gotten injured pitcher-wise, I mean, on the bases. So, yeah. For that reason alone, I think it probably would be a service better to have DH in both leagues. But, you know, I always did like the challenge of managing in a National League because there are so many more decisions that you have to make than in the American League.
They're both off to a good start. If the Yankees and Dodgers play in the World Series, I know you said you don't have to root for a team anymore, but what would you do?
All I know is in 09, I was hoping that would be the year the Dodgers and Yankees met in the World Series. So if we had gotten past Philadelphia, which I thought we had a better team that year, but we just couldn't get the last out in game four, which I thought was the killer for us. But it'd be fun watching. It'd be fun watching because I could say my former team is going to win this World Series. That's all I could tell you. Having never been to the World Series other than buying a ticket, when I had my first opportunity in 96, it was surreal. And to do it in your hometown was special. And I remember my wife tapped me on the shoulder. She says, well, now that you finally won your World Series, let's go retire and start a flower farm in Maui, you know, but I said, let's see if we can do it again. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize we were going to get to five more World Series, even though we only won, you know, three more, but it was pretty damn special.
Joe Torre is going to give the commencement address for Skidmore College's commencement on May 18th at Saratoga Performing Arts Center. A little early, Joe, for you to get to the track, but we'll be very excited to have you in town.
Well, you know what? If I just run out there and just wait online, I'll get a good seat.
Joe Torre is a Baseball Hall of Famer, and he is Major League Baseball's chief baseball officer. Joe, thank you so much for all this time. We really appreciate it.
Ian, thank you. I enjoyed it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.